in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the man got up and became Pentecostal in action right then. And then later on in that chapter, when the people gather around Peter and John and causing a major commotion, because here was a lame man, lame over 40 years. He's now dancing and prancing and praising God. Woo! Having a Pentecostal hoedown, relatively speaking. And Peter said, "Why do you look at us as if by our own holiness this man's been healed?" Peter didn't deny that there was some holiness. But he reminded them whose holiness it was. You know, it's a holy move of God when the Holy Spirit heals somebody. That's holiness in operation. That is the work and the fruit of holiness. Holiness helps the helpless, gives hope to the hopeless, love to the loveless. Holiness opens blind eyes. Jesus was holiness in a human form, and look how Jesus lived his life. And look how Jesus is living his life in the New Testament body of Christ that has awakened and is awakening unto his righteousness. As he is, again, probably for the fourth or fifth time, as he is, so are you in this world. That means you're not sucking for air regarding holiness. Holiness is purging through your carburetors of manifestation. You're not sucking air to get holy. Man, holiness is setting you free. Holiness is letting you go. Holiness is revving your engine up. Holiness is cleaning your air intake. Holiness is purging everything that doesn't pertain unto life and godliness out of your mentality, because you are the holiness of God. It says in Romans 1:4 that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. Wow, that's the same Holy Spirit that called you a son or a daughter. The same Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead is in you. You as holy as you're going to get. You have been holified. Not holy field, holified. The Spirit of holiness. Now, if you want to get religious, you can call it the Spirit of holiness. That don't even sound right, does it? The Spirit of holiness declares you are the Son of God. You are a son. You are a daughter of God with the same power. The same Spirit gives the same power. The same Spirit gives the same power everywhere he goes. Romans 6:22. Here you go. "But now having been set free from sin," woo! Hey, church world, I have on the shoes of the gospel of peace. And the gospel of peace is, you're not being set free from sin. You have been set free from sin. Jesus only needed to offer himself one time to take away the sin of the world. And Romans 6:22 goes on to say, "But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves or servants or bondservants of God," means you can't get away from him, "you have your fruit to holiness with the end result, everlasting life." You already have your fruit to holiness. Why? Because it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, let's try to picture Jesus out among people, to put a little flesh view to this. You've read enough about Jesus, and you've had enough experience with him by the Holy Spirit in your own walk. Jesus is not a funless dude. Jesus is not too tightly wrapped to enjoy life. Jesus is not a religious task master. You know, do you not think it was funny when Jesus told Peter at tax time, go down to the edge of the Sea of Galilee and grab a fish and squeeze the tax money out of his mouth? You think that wasn't funny to a group of fishermen who were professional fishermen? And Jesus said, go down, grab a fish, and pop the coin out of his mouth and go pay taxes. You think that wasn't a little humorous to them? Or when he was walking through the one of the villages and little the little miniature-sized dude, Zacchaeus, because he couldn't get a good view of Jesus, climbed up a tree. And maybe because, wasn't he a tax collector too? So maybe he climbed up in the tree for safety from the crowd that he had been collecting taxes from. But there's a little Zacchaeus up in the tree, and Jesus walking by and looks up at Zacchaeus, who's either up there to get a better view or up there to preserve his own life and limb. And yeah, probably both. And Jesus says, come on down, Zacchaeus. I'm going to your house and you're going to serve lunch to me. You think that didn't invade the mentality of Zacchaeus and the people standing around him? And Jesus, out in the midst of common street folk and the religious people, called him and complained about him being a friend of sinners? You know, our previous mentality of holiness wouldn't make us think we're a friend of sinners. You know, back in the early days of my street evangelism, a couple and a half decades ago, I had the message, but I didn't have the right revelation of the message. In fact, the only time in my life to this day that I've ever physically chased a policeman was on Putnam Street, up between the first and third blocks of Putnam Street, when I was out in front of the courthouse at 200 Putnam Street, passing out tracts on a Saturday afternoon. And one of the policemen that used to arrest me repeatedly and helped incarcerate me was off duty, walking up the street, and I decided I was going to witness Jesus to him. And he didn't want me to witness Jesus to him. And he crossed the street. I crossed the street after him. And at the time, there was an old department store called Bonham's that used to have an elevator with a little woman with purple hair that ran the elevator up and down between the floors. I chased that off-duty policeman into Bonham's, chased him from the first floor to the third floor. And then he finally shook me, and I went down the elevator, and he went down the back steps and out the back door. Then another time, one of my witnessing adventures, I happened to improperly park on the post office on Front Street at Marietta, and a guy decided to make it his mission to berate me for not parking in between the right lines. And he started ridiculing me and cursing me for not parking right. And this is exactly what I said to him in my evangelistic fervor. I said, you know, I used to be an idiot like you till Jesus set me free. And that's quote and unquote. Guess how much more I got to witness to him that day? That was it. Well, yeah, now the day that I was sentenced to prison the last time in October of 1980, before they pronounced sentence on me, the judge gave me that typical opportunity. He said, Mr. Longrier, before I pronounce sentence, would you like to make any statements to the court? And out of my belly through my mouth came this phrase, Romans 6:18. Yes, sir, your honor. Having then therefore been set free from sin, I have now become the servant of righteousness. Thank you, your honor. And for the next 60 seconds or so, it was totally quiet in that courtroom. And then the judge said, well, thank you, Mr. Longrier. I now sentence you to no less than 1 year and no more than 5 years in the Ohio Department of Corrections. Bailiff, you can take him away. But I literally prophesied righteousness. I prophesied it. Nearly 30 years ago, I prophesied it into my life.